Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
What have we here? But a happy new year. Hey, you're inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. We got September 28th and 29th. Now, we know in a parallel universe, Rack and Fin Radio, when a season opens or reopens, indeed cause for a happy new year celebration. Also on October 1st, we have an early happy new year again. Statewide archery deer season opens today. We had past 2 weeks we had in certain DMZs. We had an earn a buck season that was going on. That is over now. It's statewide. And squirrel and rabbit season open today as well. And on Tuesday, October 1st, black sea bass season reopens. It jumps to 10 fish, still at the 12.5-inch minimum. We have a really jam show coming up. Will be Peter Clark. He is the artificial reef coordinator and biologist, DEP's marine fishers. Are going to be talking sea bass. Just a reminder, permits are on sale across the board. Your deer permits, your bear permits, et cetera, et cetera. Muzzleloader permits. Just remember, no bow, muzzleloader, or shotgun permits for DMZs 45 and 46 this year, actually, until further notice. That might be a couple of years. They were ravaged by EHD. We had Jody Powers on from Fish and Wildlife, the Deer Project Leader, talking about that a couple of weeks ago. Don't forget, registration now for the youth pheasant hunt is still underway. You're going to be walk-in participants will not be accepted. Go to njfishandwildlife.com. That hunt's going to take place on November 2nd. Great time. We had a biologist on last week talking about it. And don't forget also October 19th, the first annual Ed Markowski Memorial Shoot. It was a great guy, frequent guest on Rack and Fin Radio, fought for the rights of hunters, fishermen, and trappers around the state. That's going to be, again, Saturday, October 19th at 9 a.m., Red Wing Sporting Clays. I already sent in my check for a banner. They have one of my signs here at one of the Sporting Clay stations. $75 donation gets you 100 rounds of Sporting Clays at 15 stations, lunch and cold drinks, and NGO ball cap for each shooter. And you'll meet a lot of cool people there. NGOA.org for more information. Really jam show. Grab that cup, grab that rebel. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio. Oh. Happy, happy new year.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5. WPG Talk Radio 95.5. For complete contest rules, visit WPGTalkRadio.com.
Okay, then a happy new year. Squirrel rabbit open, statewide bow season open. A little preemptive strike on a happy new year. Tuesday, October 1st, reopening of the black sea bass season is going to be 10 fish at from a 12.5-inch minimum. That's going to run until Halloween the 31st. November 1st to December 31st, it's jumping to 15 fish at the same 12.5-inch minimum. Well, I'll tell you, this weather has, it's been a kick in the ass. Losing about, 4 weeks with the fluke season with that hard south. I mean, fluke were caught in the bays and rivers. I get that. But for the most part, out front, that freezing water. I don't know. This thing coming up from the south, how's it going to impact here for the next week or so? We're going to have a window here and there. But it should settle down, and we're going to have a super, super on the overall month of October for the black sea bass here to give us his perspectives. We're also going to talk about reefs and the greatest reef system on the planet off the Jersey coast. Is Peter Clark. He is a marine biologist, DEP's Bureau of Marine Fisheries. He's also the artificial reef coordinator and a sea bass and tog maniac angler. Hey, Pete, how you doing, man? As I should say, Captain Peter Clark, how's it going?
Tom P., thanks for having me.
Always, always a pleasure, man. I glean so much of his interviews, Pete, when I'm talking about the sea. I never knew that. Catch rates have increased slowly, but you know my proclivities, Clark, especially with the sea bass and the tog. How does it look, man? A lot of people are eager beaver with this sea bass coming up because fluke, Pete, you know what that weather, that, 3.5-4 week stretch of hard south, southwest winds, whatever, that really put a dent in the fluke fishery, no?
Yeah, we had a really, really difficult fluke season this year. You know, we had 5 weeks of south wind. Turns around in August and starts blowing light east, little west in there. And then we have finished the season up with fluke at, 10, 12 days and counting of hard north wind.
Yeah.
So, weather conditions were not conducive for the best fishing scenario, but when we were able to get out there, we did pretty good. We had we had some great days. We had some mediocre days. But generally speaking, fluking was, you know, there were fish around, no doubt about it. Like you said, back bays were smoking hot.
Oh, yeah.
It's just, you know, sometimes you get a year like this where you get a lot of south, blows the bite down. But, boy, I'll tell you what, there were days when that south would come around for a few days and just, you know, man, it was like lock and load, baby. It was pretty good fluking when it was not blowing south.
So. But, Pete, speaking about that chilly, I don't know, the party boat captains I talked to up and down the coast, especially central and north, they were catching sea bass, I mean, and the larger sea bass you would expect farther offshore all summer. These guys couldn't wait. Shout out to Captain Willie on the Dauntless up there. He says, we threw thousands of bags. I can't wait for October 1st. It was a wild, wild summer with the sea bass.
Yeah, it was. You know, Willie's 100% right. I got to agree with him. It was heartbreaking at times to say, yeah, you can't keep that. No, we can't keep this. No, we got to throw that back because there were some beautiful 13, 15-inch sea bass out there that just... you know, they had to go back. We kept the one, but, you know, and then now the fluke has been closed and we're seeing all these gorgeous fish around. It's like, oh, man, October 1 can't come soon enough.
Captain P, you're absolutely right up here. I'm sweating in my chair right now because I am a sea bass maniac. Get it right. It's drop and reel fishing. Tom P loves it easy. You know that. But, Pete, there's different nuances involved. And there's some guys like you that concentrate – you target the bigger sea bass. Are there to be caught among the hundreds, seem thousands of the sublegal fish or the just legal fish? And the population looks as good as ever. Is that pretty accurate?
We've talked about this before. 250%, you know, biomass.
250.
Right. So you realize that fisheries management has a target biomass level and sea bass right now is at 236%, right? It's been 250% for the last few years, 210%. Point is, it's been so far double what our target is for 7 years now, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And to be quite honest with you, see down, you know, in the next few years. I don't see a possibility of the biomass decreasing. And, you know, it provides an absolutely amazing opportunity for anglers off the coast of New Jersey, for the people that are running businesses, the party boats, charter boats, bait and tackle shops, you know, the hot omelet diner, all that stuff, right? And, man, I'll tell you what, we're looking at an unbelievable October 1. I truly believe we'll see, right? We'll see because we have had some north wind. But, man, it was – I saw some of the best sea bass at the last few days of fluke there when we were able to go out and fish. There were some gorgeous sea bass around.
Hey, I mean,
huge females, big males. Yeah. It was great.
Hey, let me ask you this, though. On the some of the tackle shops I've been in, we took an ass kicking with a fluke, and some of these are forward things. Let's just get ready for sea bass, loading up on jigs, rigs, ordering their clams and everything. So the tenor is it's up a tempered upbeat attitude, if you get my drift, but pun intended there. But they're looking forward to it. Shops, party boat captains, charter boat captains. It's going to be gung-ho.
Yeah, how can you not, right? Like I said, we're coming out of this big blow, and it's starting to finally, right? It just started finally coming down over the last couple of days. We started seeing a little reprieve in that wind.
Mm-hmm.
And get the jigs ready to go, right? I mean, on my boat, we're looking at 007s when we don't have a whole lot of drift and we can hover over a piece. 827.
Uh-huh.
You know, we'll go up to a 40, but we'll go up to an 847 if we have to. But you'll want to match the hatch. Epoxy jigs, those the Colt snipers, you know, all those small tungsten epoxies, like, you know, think that
the little hoagies. Talk about squid. Yeah. I showed these little nomad squids. Have you seen those? I want to put him in a frying pan. Oh, Peter, with a little stinger hook on there, but I'm going to be sticking another strip of Kalamata on top of that. But Pete, Tsunami and Hoagie, those little jigs they have that we use for the false albies and stuff, the sea bass are going to be all over them.
Yep. You got it. That's it.
Now, Pete, question. You're beyond accomplished here. When do you pick and choose? I think this piece of cover is going to be more conducive to the drift as opposed to maybe we should anchor. Because now you use both tactics.
I always start on a piece by drifting, right? So I'll get, for a couple of reasons. So I go to a spot that I think is going to have a good body of fish. I get right on the middle of it. Like, I put the air brakes on. I run up to it in gear, put the air brakes on, stop the boat, zero knots. I drift a little bit just to see what's going on. I'll tell a couple of the guys to drop some baits, clams, right? Regular fare. Drop some bait rods. Everybody else just, drop a jig down. Let's see what's going on. We'll drift off of it. I'll get over it again. I'll hover it. I'll see what's going on. And if those guys are just wrecking them, then I'll put the hook in and we'll get to work. If it doesn't seem, if we're getting bites, but it's not, we've all had trips like this. I do these offshore trips in November where we're limited to boat, 120 fish in like 45 minutes.
Yes.
Right? If it's like that, I'm anchoring up. If it's a slower bite but still decent, I'll hover it. I'll just, I'll bump around on there. A lot of guys don't like throwing a hook. I personally do. I like settling in, getting to work. But if I feel like I'm going to be moving around this day, then I'll hover on it. I'll drift it. And you know what? I'll be honest with you. There are days that when you're drifting a spot and you come off of it a little bit, that's when you really start wrecking them. Sometimes they're not hanging on the highest piece of that.
Wreck. There you go. Right. Exactly correct. Yeah.
And you start drifting off into that like little lower stuff or maybe even on the edge of the sand. And for whatever reasons, like we saw this spring, for example, people will remember this. These things are wheeling around, chasing clouds of sand eels.
Yeah.
So every day is different. You got to try. We were just talking about this the other day. You got to try it all, whether you're fluking, sea bassing, they might be on a chicken rig one day, they may be on the jig the next day, or so on and so forth. Depends on the conditions.
And Pete, the variety of baits, too. Hey, listen, one of the, this is a tip given to me. It's proven itself over the years. Pete, one of the best baits, if you're going to bait them, is a live mini down here, Killy up north. A nice big jumbo. Pete, they love Killies.
Yeah, we don't use a whole lot of live bait just because we're going through so much of it. But, we've been talking about this. The fish bites, guys will run those small mullet gulps on there. I'm a clam guy. I like the salted clams. I like little squid strips. You're going to tip a jig, that's typically what I'm looking at, is some kind of like a little squid strip on there. If they're finicky, you put a little flavor on there. If they're not, you can run those straight jigs. It doesn't matter.
Hey, shout out to Jim Hutchison Jr., editor of the Fisher Magazine, fishing with him and Johnny DeBona on the late, great Charlie Ebley's 36 Enriquez. I think that was the first time I was seasick, Pete, in 32 years. When you talk about a confused sea, I was inside a churn, but I got out there. I caught close to my limit, whatever. Oh man, that's a horrible. I forgot how horrible that felt, man. But anyway, Hutch is there. He has a big ass bucktail on like a 3 or 4 ounce with a 5 or 6 inch gulp grub on there. I said, Hutch, bright color too, chartreuse and orange. I said, Hutch, what do you? He says, I don't want these 12 and a half. And sure enough, if he didn't kick ass with a couple of big sea bass, as in 16, 17, and Pete, they're down there, they're hungry, they're targeting it, they're going to go for it. And Hutch said, bigger the bait, the bigger the... Wait, he said, how do you put it? The bigger the bait, the bigger the biscuit. He calls them biscuits when they get that big.
Biscuits. Yeah, think about it, right? So, like, those larger fish aren't going to be... They're not going to compete right off the bat with those little ones, those little quick hitters, So, yeah, that's why we use those jigs is to start targeting those larger fish. And, you got to be careful. You don't want to be buried in the wreck. It stinks losing a $7 jig on your first drop.
So you ain't lying, man.
Don't let it scope out. I tell people all the time, if you're scoping, you're losing it.
Yep.
Try to keep it straight up and down as much as possible. And that dictates a lot of our rigs as well, what we're going to be putting on that day.
On the Rack and Fin line this morning is Captain Peter Clark. Peter is the New Jersey Artificial Reef Coordinator, DEP's New Jersey Bureau of Marine Fisheries, also marine biologist extraordinaire, and one hell of a charter captain. Can I give the name of your vessel, Chief?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's why it's called the Mad Hatter. Mad as a hatter. Okay, Pete, we're up against a break. Hang in, man. Let's talk some artificial reefs. Your pick, your top five. Your top five for sea bass opening week. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio. Captain Peter Clark is the Commodore of the sea bass. Be right back.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5 and the WPG Talk Radio app. Bullet Points.
I'm Evan Brown. Time for another firearms case at the Supreme Court. We're just a couple of weeks away from the first Monday in October when the U.S. Supreme Court's new term begins, and on the High Court's docket will be the case involving so-called ghost guns and what power federal agencies might have to ban them. So far, the feds in this case, the Biden administration Justice Department, is 0-2 in the courtrooms. The case is named for Jennifer Vanderstock, one of the original plaintiffs, who along with the Firearms Policy Coalition sued the U.S. government over the ATF banning by rulemaking of kits allowing people to assemble their own firearms. Such firearms have no serial numbers and don't require background checks. A federal district in Texas ruled the ban unconstitutional, and the DOJ lost the appeal in the Fifth Circuit, and now they want the Supreme Court to rule. And those are your bullet points. I'm Evan Brown, Fox News.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Yeah, back inside Rack and Fin Radio talking sea bass. Happy New Year, a little early. Tuesday, October 1st, sea bass season reopens. Joyce online is Peter Clark. I gave his creds before, and we are now we're going to talk some of, is it the Commodore's favorite reefs? Pete, are you still there?
Admiral.
Admiral Peter, there we go. Admiral, Admiral Peter Clark.
There's only one real admiral, and that's my wife.
Yeah. We got that. Oh, very. This man is good. Along the sea bass and blackfish battleship, the Mad Hatter. Pete, you're based out of where? Belmar?
Yeah, Shark River. We sail out of.
Okay, Pete, the reef system in New Jersey, very extensive. But before we get to the sea bass, Pete, you mentioned something off the air. This is great. Something's happening very positively with the Delaware Bay Reef. Go into that, please, and we'll get back to the sea bass. Yeah. Go!
Yeah, so, you know, we've got 17 reef sites along the coast going from Sandy Hook all the way down to Cape May, and then our final one up in Delaware Bay. And the exciting news there, Tom, is that we've got about five barge loads of beautiful concrete coming to the Delaware Bay Reef. They're about 3,000 tons apiece, so we're talking about a good amount of material. A very, very nice. This is like the stuff that we've put all over some of our ocean reefs, you know, some big pieces, big chunky pieces of concrete. You know, Delaware Bay Reef has not received a lot of material over the past few years. We've only been sighted out there for about 6 years. So we're really excited to get that reef pumping. It's going to have great stuff on it. We're going to find great fish in there.
Let's bring Delaware Bay back. I'm that ancient, Pete. I go back to the heyday of Fortescue, late 70s, early 80s. My God, that part of Delaware Bay was alive and kicking and thriving. It was unbelievable. And it just, okay, Pete, now back to the sea bass, the reefs. Particular cover that you notice, like the tog with the tanks, they like the metal, the fluke sand with the metal. Any particular cover that you found in all your years doing this that the sea bass prefer? They tend to hover or hang around that particular type of cover, or are they just cover oriented?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter. If you find a shopping cart in the middle of a desert, there's going to be sea bass on them right now. I'm really not kidding you. You know, there's that's not an exaggeration. Here's a good maneuver, right? For opening day, you're going to want to go to one of your most prolific. So, like, you know, how high off the bottom can you find it? I would start there. I like the Atlantic City Reef an awful lot for the guys south of Barnegat.
Oh, yeah.
It is a really dynamic spot. So you're talking about depths that go from 55 feet to 110 feet if you just go 2 miles east, right? it gives you a lot of opportunity to figure out what's going on. And then from there, as the season starts moving on and it gets really worked over, work offshore to some of those lesser known pieces, the wrecks, you know, pull out a chart, pull out an old Captain Seagull's chart and find some wrecks. Start poking around. That's what you got to do. You got to do your work. You know, you got to get out there and take a ride.
And Pete, with today's electronics, even the basic ones. Hey, shout out to Captain Sammy the Slam Racino on the Mary M4. He said, Tommy P. said, you find a patch of cover the size of a couple of shoe boxes, there's going to be tiger sea bass on it, but you have to find them. And he said the electronics today are making that possible.
Yep, absolutely. Sammy's 100% right. Sammy's one of the best, too, right? So listen to him. If he's saying go find a little chunk, then, you know, there's a reason for that because it hasn't been worked over likely. You know, we go to these reefs like we had that, you know, we had an amazing bite up on Shark River Reef, one of our 17 reef sites up in North Jersey. I mean, it was insane. We had folks from Barnegat coming up there.
Yeah.
But if, you know, I'll be honest with you, I didn't spend the entire spring there. I would go there when it started getting a little faded out. Then I started poking around to some more private pieces, if you will, like things that are off the reef that people aren't necessarily working real hard. Mm-hmm. And we got right back to limiting out in an hour or less, you know? So
there you go,
that's the point. You can start on these really popular spots, whether it's, you know, a popular wreck, a popular reef. And once those things start really getting worked over, and you're not going to know until you get there, your opening day, I would imagine, we're going to limit out and,
right,
you know, maybe an hour, 2 hours, something like that, you know? And then it's going to start taking a little longer.
And Pete, one of the things, really too, I noticed there's someone explained to me, again, very well-versed sea bass angler and his wife. The thing is, Tom Pete, the first 2 weeks they get pounded, and then people go away. We'll wait until the last week, and everyone's going off to the deeper spot. He says, sea bass abhor a vacuum, man. They're right back in there, and everyone's out 10, 12, 15 miles away, and we're back there where we were opening day week, and we're getting limits of sea bass. And, Pete, some of the bigger ones as well, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Pete, AC That's Reef, we have Garden State North, Garden State South, Great Egg Reef, Little Egg Reef. There's cover on these, supreme cover, so there should be good sea bass and up in day, especially down through South Jersey, no?
Yeah, you're not kidding, right? You just named some of my, you know, my favorites. Because I do hit those reefs for later in the season tog fishing. Garden State North and South, Barnegat Light, Little Leg is awesome.
Oh, you know,
great bite there. Keep going south. Then you got AC. I love AC. I told you that.
Yeah, that's
some awesome. There's some hulks of metal out on AC. You know, the Jet Trader, Tobacco Point. What else is on the Stevie Kane, the big, case on gate that we put out there.
I was going to say, Pete, those case on gates are just, they're sea bass tog magnets.
I think they glued
themselves to them.
You know, Little Egg has got a couple great, great rock piles. They come up off the bottom about, 15, 18 feet. Those things they're loaded with sea bass, you know. And if you're taking a ride between the two, there's wrecks between them. You know, like Sammy was saying, get out and look at a chart and figure out some of those little chunks, you know, those little crumbles that are out there that people have been overlooking, you know?
JP, I know some captains still my age, your age, in between and all that. It's still a big kick when they find a little piece of cover that's loaded. I never knew this was here. Again, the electronics are making it just, on the other hand, people say, are making it too easy. You still have to make the fish. It's like the forward-facing with the bass thing, freshwater. You still have to make the fish bite. Pete, we only have a couple of minutes left. Go into the artificial reef system briefly, and this is something on NJ Fish and Wildlife. People can download the numbers or download the whole thing. Go.
Yeah, so pretty simple. All you got to do is get to a Google browser or any search engine and type in New Jersey or NJ Artificial Reef Program. It'll pop up our website. Go onto the website. You're going to look for a thing called the Artificial Reef Guide. It'll provide every reef that we've got, all 17 of them, with added numbers. We just put in another 2,500 numbers a couple of years ago. We're going to update that again. We're doing a lot of deployments. We've done a couple. I actually just canceled one was it yesterday, Friday, we were supposed to put out another piece on Cape May, another one on Little Egg. The weather, like I said, this winter has been brutal. But it just wasn't quite nice enough. So go on there, check out what we're doing. There's been a bunch of recent deployments. We've done a few already this year, some concrete, some reef balls, things like that. It's the most up-to-date source that we've got. Stuff you're not going to find on the Navionics app right now. Plug in the numbers, and let's get started.
Okay, Peter. Well, Pete, before I let you go, just a question. This reef system is so incredible. This is some best out there. Just best out there. Like I say, the planet, the universe, whatever. But, Peter, I mean, you guys never seem to rest on your laurels, guys and gals. Like I said, never rest on yours. You're constantly, deployments, whatever. Are there any plans in the offing talked about, brainstorming about expanding the reef system, another reef here, another reef there? What's the dealio?
Yeah, so we've been kicking around, if you will. We've been kicking around the idea of putting another reef site between Barnegat Light and Manasquan Inlet. So that would be somewhere off of Island Beach State Park, down off of that way. On another renewal in 2027. So, there's a process to this. It would have to go through our Marine Fisheries Council, et cetera, and then we would apply for an additional reef site. Totally doable. And, we're always under consideration. I don't think you can have too many reef sites, to be quite honest with you.
Admiral Peter Clark, Bureau of Marine Fisheries, Hardfish Reef Coordinator, thanks ever so much for joining us on Rackhamfin. Don't forget, man, you're locked in about 4 weeks from now, 5 weeks from now with your TOG synopsis. You got the deal? You got it down?
I got it. It's already in my calendar.
Okay.
It's a repeating date for me.
Listeners, Admiral Peter Clark, Bureau of Marine Fisheries, and Captain Commodore Admiral of the Mad Hatter, the sea bass and blackfish battleship. Pete, you take care.
Hey,
thanks
for your favor, Tom.
Yo.
Say hello to my friend Jimmy Sloan for me, the tuna sniper. All right,
Tuna sniper. Now we're talking. Okay, I'm going to jump him. We're talking cottontails and squirrels, and I'll hit him with the tuna sniper. Hey, man, he's a big boy. Jimmy Sloan's a big boy.
Yeah.
Okay,
he's
man.
A good guy.
Tuna sniper. Peter, you take care. Have a great season. Hope to see you in a few weeks.
Yep. Thanks, Tom. Adios.
See ya. Adios, amiibos, as Gary Larson said in The Far Side. That was a cool one with the little sombrero and stuff. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio. Sea Bass Tuesday, October 1st. Going to be bumpy in the next week or so, whatever. It's going to be one hell of a month-long season. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
Where can you get the latest, most accurate South Jersey news? WPG Talk Radio 95.5 and the WPG Talk Radio app. Don't wait for the newspaper to come in the mail. The WPG Talk Radio app is updated around the clock from New Jersey's largest radio news team. Accurate, dependable, reliable. When you need to know, it's WPG Talk Radio 95.5 and the WPG Talk Radio app.
Fox News, I'm Deborah Valentine. Two terror leaders and others confirmed killed by Israeli Defense Forces. Hezbollah's leader, Hassan Nasrallah, killed in a targeted attack against Hezbollah's central headquarters in Beirut, Lebanon. Fox's Trey Yankst reports from Tel Aviv.
The statement says the IDF announces that yesterday, September 27th, 2024, Hassan Nasrallah, the leader of Hezbollah's terrorist organization and one of its founders, was eliminated by the IDF together with Ali Karki, the commander of Hezbollah's Southern Front, and additional Hezbollah commanders.
Hamas terror network head Ahmad Mohammed Fahd killed in southern Syria by Israeli's Air Force. Hurricane Helene has resulted in at least 45 deaths in the southeastern U.S. Millions are without power. Helene hit Florida as a Category 4 hurricane late Thursday. America's listening to Fox News.
Your WPG Atlantic City electric AccuWeather forecast for South Jersey. We have a high rip current risk in effect from 8 a.m. this morning through this evening. For today, breezy this morning, mostly cloudy and humid with a little rain in the area with a high of 79. Tonight, mostly cloudy, breezy and humid with a little rain, low 67. For tomorrow, low clouds and breezy with passing showers, high 75. I'm AccuWeather's Caitlin Lawrence on WPG Talk Radio, 95.5.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Here we go, look out below, back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Happy New Year weekend, September 28th and 29th, opening statewide bow season. Also, do not get my fave is really the small game thing. I love my deer, I love my waterfowl, I give them woodchucks in the summer and all, but gray squirrel and cottontail rabbit, and also hares, or I don't think we have any hares open today. I think it runs till middle of February 22nd, something like that. Small game hunting used to be big, huge in New Jersey. Unfortunately, I mean, we used to have beagles. We were rabbiteers. We were crazy for the bunnies. And the squirrels were just like a bonus. But, yeah, development, what have you. Rabbit hunting now, unless you have some good sections of private land, although we've got some great management areas here that we count on for a few cottontails every year. Rabbit hunting sort of popularity-wise waning. Little pockets here in Gloucester County, Salem County, Monmouth County, Cumberland. Still some dyed-in-the-wool rabbit hunters. And sometimes we walk the brush, me and Lovey Demery, and bust them out. And those are some fast-ass shots, man, which is why I prefer to hunt with the beagles. But and the squirrels, too. It's just a lot of fun and glorious time of year to be in the woods. We never really hear much about squirrels and bunnies. Join us online right now from the DEP's Fish and Wildlife, his principal biologist, Jimmy Sloan. I wish we could get him more, but these guys constantly feel him with the turkeys and stuff. Biologist with DEP's Fish and Wildlife. We're going to talk the small game resource, squirrels and bunnies, and the prospectus for this season. As usual, it looks good because not that many people do it. Hey, listen, Tuna Sniper Sloan, I hear, is what you're called. How you doing, man?
Hey, Tommy, what's going on? How are you?
Listen to me, Tuna Sniper. It was announced in the last segment, Tuna Sniper is your nom de plume. Is that true?
No. You must have heard that from Petey Clark.
He had no idea who was that, so I don't know. That must go back a ways, Sloan. But, Jimmy, again, the small game season opens up, and I just came out. A lot of cover up there in the treetops. So the squirrel, that's going to be a little iffy. Listeners, it's real like a stalk 'em down. You see a little bush moving, you get it, and make sure of your target. And then the bunnies right now, best thing is this coming weeks, early in the morning, first light, and again towards dusk, you know, until sunset. But, Jim, two really, insofar as I'm, especially with the bushy tails, really underutilized resources here that offer great days of field. And when it comes down to, and you know my proclivities, people, they are just damn good eating no matter how you make them.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there isn't another species with fur on it that tastes better than a rabbit. It's just plain and simple.
I like the way you said that, man.
It is. And I'll be at the Tucker Decoy Show today, but after that, I'm going to go and take my son out. And
nice.
I'll tell you what, if I come home with five squirrels and four rabbits, my wife is going to be tickled.
That's it. I would say I love my bushy tails too, but the problem is, we're about to say, I need four myself. Four, because I know the four quarters, forget it. That's like chewing on angle. I cut the ribs, I get the back straps and the hind quarters. But listen, it's like a miniature pork chop. I parboil them, then I'll fry them. I'll make a squirrel cacciatore. I'll do them in the slow cooker. But Jimmy, you're right. When it comes to rabbits, man, that's as close to small game roast beef prime rib as you can get.
Yeah, some cream and mushroom soup and some football on Sunday. It'll be awesome.
And listen, skinning squirrels can be a bitch, man. That's one thing with the rabbits, too. Off the fur comes. And listen, when you think about it, everything, it's like a quail. Everything wants to eat it. You know, the raptors, yeah, the snakes, the whole bit. And squirrels aren't, cottontails aren't fighters like the squirrels. I do it to some Hawkeyes, the raptor hunters. And the falcons go after the birds. These guys have the hawks and red tails. They go after. Squirrels fight to the death.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, a rabbit looks at a hawk coming, I'm done. You know what I mean? But Jimmy, now the rapid pace of development is what has me along, especially these huge warehouse pad sites going up. But the division of DEP's Fish and Wildlife Lands Management, we do have some still really prime rabbit areas within these management areas, especially in central and southern Jersey.
Yeah. the land management crew, they do a great job. And some of the work they're doing is just a byproduct that boosts our rabbit numbers. And that, you know, with the pheasant field work, I mean, rabbits love that, you know, thick hedgerows, beautiful fields. I mean, some of the southern WMAs are rabbit, you know, go-to places.
And Jim, as I said, all my years down here now, again, there's still pockets of mostly Italian, like me. Hey, you know, traditions die hard. Cacciatore, hey, quesadiche. But for the most part, again, we're, for example, we're hunting a Port Republic or down on Millville. I call it the Bevins Tract or whatever. Rabbit busts out. That's an answer. That's a bonus. Again, like to me, squirrels, when, you know, we're, especially fall, we're walking through or fall turkey birds, squirrels are a bonus. But there are some prime rabbit areas. But again, Jim, no one seems to bother with them on purpose, except for these little beagle clubs here and there. And listeners, it can be challenging as all get out because these little suckers are fast. Another thing, Sloan, people say, oh, you shoot squirrels. Yeah, did you ever try to shoot a squirrel running along the forest floor? Them little suckers are, man, they're more evasive than a running back. Holy God, they're tough.
Yeah, yeah. I hear from the stocking crews at night. I'm going to just give you a WMA. So Greenwood Wildlife Management Area, one of the guys who stocks the quail.
Oh,
you should see how many rabbits are bouncing around them roads at nighttime.
Oh, yeah. But the thing is, people there... Deer and bobwhites. Rabbits, like, who cares? Well, listeners, the squirrel limit is 5, and the rabbit limit is 4 cottontails. Jim, in the digest, I've been reading, and back then it was a compendium. It seems they always mention hares and whatever. Are there any hares in New Jersey? I'm thinking snowshoe hares when I used to live in Maine. Well, hares
here? Well, we're not 100% sure if there's a few running around, but in the 70s in Somerset County, there was some rich guys who tried to restore a hare population. So that's why it's in the compendium. Just in case one pops up, we want to make sure it's legal. Go ahead and take it.
Listen, we're speaking with Jimmy Sloan, principal biologist, DEP's Fish and Wildlife. We're talking the opening of the squirrel and the rabbit season. So, Jim, like I wanted to, I just want to pump it out. Listen, try it. Just some afternoon, hanging around, you have your deer, you're tired of deer hunting. Just get your scatter gun. Walk some of these trails. Stop, look, listen, especially if you have a good mast crop, good acorns, either white or red. Squirrels are numerous, and they are there in most areas. And they are there forget the pines. Like pines, nah. I've seen squirrels at a pine stone, but they are really, really sketchy looking, man. Skinny, scrawny things. But you get on these field edges, especially bordering farmland. Hey, Sloan, I'll tell you, one of the most amazing sights is watching a squirrel drag an ear of corn up a tree.
Yeah.
Man. Yeah. Oh, little sucker. Again, they're tough.
Yeah, and good thing we don't have fox squirrels. We'll mistake them for the beagles.
Whoa, Jim, I've hunted those down in West Virginia. Man, listen, these are now as a Texas originally, as a little kid, the gray squirrels were called cat squirrels, and then you had the fox squirrels. Jim, what do you think? They're easily double the size, if not more. And the thing is, you miss them, they come after you.
Really?
Yo, they are absolutely badass. Okay, and Jim, back to the squirrels again. Taking the challenge one step far, muzzle loading squirrels. I didn't try it. I know people that are just dedicated for it. Now, is it? Excuse me, everyone, but have they made it now? State used to be certain zones where you can muzzle load. Is it restricting now? So is it statewide? Certain areas. What's the dealio?
So it's still restricted. The council did agree to remove the boundary limit, so that should go through with the 2025 game code.
Okay.
And as a reminder, that opens October 1st, which is this Monday.
Okay, yeah, so that's going to be a lot of... You know, this one guy has a... I don't know if he has a... I mean, he's like hardcore. He carries his possibles bag. He's told me, he says, Tommy P., I was born 250 years too late. He has a 32, I don't know if it's a hawk in her church, whatever. And that's Jim, right. This guy picks these things off at headshots at 50, 75 yards. I mean, I wouldn't believe it unless I saw it. But again, you put in the practice. That's what it is. Listeners, give the squirrels and bunnies a try. Hey, Jim, there are too many WMAs to mention that. And also, listeners, state forests, like some of the favorites. Look for the oak trees, cornfields, whatever. You're going to find the bushy tails and those edges where the edges collide, field and woodland. You will find the cottontails. Kick them out if you have access to. I'll tell you, Jim, some of the curs I've hunted with, part beagle, part cocker spaniel, part whatever. They get a nose for rabbits, man, or even pheasants for that matter. They can really up the game.
Yeah, yeah. A dog is very beneficial with small game hunting. That's for sure.
Jimmy, where are your travels taking you next, man?
I got to go to Connecticut for the Northeast Upland Game Bird Technical Committee next week.
I'm sure that's one you don't want to miss. No, it should be interesting. Well, Jimmy, again, we sent our photos into the turkeys. If you don't mind my asking, a little bit off track here. Sorry, press officer. Okay, how was the response on the turkey sighting dealio?
It was wonderful. Wonderful.
Great.
We had almost 1,000 individual reports that were not duplicates.
Great.
Which, I mean, blows right. anything we ever received in the past out of the water.
People, when you do that, you're part of the process, part of improving it, man. Well, Jimmy Sloan, you have a great fall season. Tuna sniper now. It's pretty ugly seas out there, 6 to 10 in a washboard, but I'm hearing some long fins, Sloan. What do you got?
What do you got, Sloaney?
No details. Jimmy, you take care. Be safe. Have a great fall.
You too, Tommy. Thanks for having
me. Listen. At the decoy show, man, you'll look for the funnel cake truck, and there I be. See you later, man.
See you later. Take care.
Jimmy Sloan, just a great guy. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5. South Jersey's talk station.
Hi, this is Gordon Deal. Coming up on This Weekend, a small town in North Carolina still battles over a Civil War monument. We'll take you there. Also, are you in the market for an electric car? Hear the people that make good candidates and those that don't, based on your habits. Plus, what to know about Embarkation Day on your first cruise and the community that helped an injured hiker in Washington State. That and more coming up on This Weekend.
This morning at 6 on WPG Talk Radio 95.5. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
All right, wrapping it up with me, Tom P. Rack and Fin Radio. Weekend of September 28th and 29th. Again, a happy new year. Opening of the statewide bow season today, the 28th. Okay, man, you have a hit. You have a hit. Don't worry about it. You have a hit. Thick cover. Okay. I think it was a good hit. Lung, maybe a little back, maybe liver, maybe, I don't know, heart, a little above the heart. What do I do? You're not seeing much in the way of blood. Hey, years passed, years and years passed. The tracking could have been a nightmare. Deer could have been lost. Well, the past 3 years, a certified deer tracking program in New Jersey has been underway, and now there's something like 30 certified deer trackers and their dogs, which have made deer recovery a lot easier. A lot of training goes into this. And for those who say, oh, if you can't track on yourself, you don't belong in the woods, up yours. Yeah, I'm saying that right now because I don't care who you are. And anyone says, I've never lost a deer. If you are, then you must be sitting at the man's right hand. I'm telling you, because there are situations, especially here in South Jersey, parts of North Jersey, and parts of Central, on their covers so thick. How do you get that trail? Joining us on the line right now, very special guest. Great young fellow, Jimmy Miranda. He's from Pine Barrens Deer Tracking and Recovery. And his full-blown bloodhound, Roscoe, who's just the coolest-looking bloodhound I have ever seen. He's on the line with us right now. Go into the deer tracking and recovery. Now, it's not blood tracking, so you always see blood trackers. It's a different kind of system here. Jimmy Miranda, thanks for joining us. We don't have much time here, bud, but this is critical. The deer tracking and recovery, since this program came out, has saved, I would say, hundreds of deer. Would you agree, if not more?
Oh, yes, sir, and good morning, Mr. Tom. Yes, sir, absolutely. We go this season alone, we have already accomplished double-digit tracks this year, and just the number of deer where signage has just come to a complete end, and we are able to recover has just been, out of this world.
Now, listen, don't forget, the past 2 weeks was the early season, the Ernebug season, and was, I think, 20-something or whatever, DMZs, select DMZs around the state. So Jimmy has already been out there in the field. Well, Jim, one, I want to get to the actual process that's involved, how you permits, the training. What parameters do you have to work within?
Yeah, yes, sir. So I started 2 years ago with Roscoe. The very first thing I did was look for a dog that was going to fit my lifestyle and my need, not only in the woods, but, you know, he's such a component to my life, our house. He completes our family. That's the first thing with Roscoe. From there, then we had to start to put in the work. You have to, you know, perhaps get a hold of another tracker like myself, or you have to educate yourself by going onto the New Jersey State Certified on their websites to get all the information. You put in the work, you put in the time, then you have to go ahead and you have to get with the United Blood Trackers Association to then put in to request the test. Once that test is completed, then you're able to file for the permits for the state of New Jersey. And upon completion, you are ready to, well, rock and roll.
Well, and listeners, this is not a paid position. Am I correct on that, Jimmy? I mean, they could offer you a tip, but this, you do this gratis, yes?
Yes, sir. So the, as far as the state of New Jersey goes, sir, I can't speak for all states, but New Jersey goes, this is a donation-based service only. So right. At the end of the day, when you're calling us, I'll use myself example, calling me at 9 at night to come out till midnight or so, this is all based off of just the goodness of our hearts and to put this out there and to, yes, sir, it's a donation-based service.
Now, Jim, I understand the dogs have to be on a leash, but is that all the time? What about in some of this really badass thick cover? Is a leash practical? I mean, how does that work?
Well, yes, sir. By the regulation, the dog is allowed to be on a 30-foot, what we call lead.
Lead, okay.
They're made of different, a longer leash. They're made of different materials and whatnot, so they are able to kind of snake their way through without getting caught up for the most part. If for some reason we do get into a situation, I've come across a barbed wire fence, even though not legal anymore, they're still around, obviously, in those dense forests and whatnot we're talking about. Mm-hmm. You're able to drop the lead, stop the dog, get around, and then regain control of the lead.
That, Miranda, makes sense. I was wondering, because some of these areas you see, again, getting Roscoe to, again, it's not, go into, is it the interdigital, whatever, what are they actually scenting and following if it's not blood? And how did you get him involved with that? He was a puppy. How'd that go?
Well, I'm going to tell you, there's another gentleman named Pat Lynn, and that gentleman, he gave me the keys to the car. He gave me the answers to the test. He has been by my side from day one, and he doesn't track as much as he used to. But him and he had set me up for success all the way. With Roscoe, particularly with the bloodhound, we smile at the fact, listen, you're not going to call us when there's blood on the ground. Let's call it what it is. You're calling me because this is dense. You lost signage, and it's just ingrained in us. Oh, well, I must have made a bad shot. That 90% of the time, that's not true.
Okay.
Roscoe has 230 million Olay factory cells. That's 40 times more than a human. We don't need blood. We need nothing. A bloodhound's nostrils, Tom, I don't know if you know this or not, but they actually work independently. He can smell direction and differentiate left and right.
That is absolutely
amazing. Yeah, I mean, I could go on with the list from the fold, from this particular breed, from the folds in his skin. Mm-hmm. To his ears, preventing the scattering of cells and scents on the ground and keeping them in front of him the entire time, sir.
Even when he gets through cover and it mixes up with other deer tracks? I mean, and he's still able to... Wow.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. And that right there goes back to the first part. So prior military, sir, I believe in attention to detail and discipline, and we train. And if we're not training, we're thinking about training. And and that's probably a very good success, success factor for us. So we are always out there in high populated, dense populated deer areas when we do our working, just to ensure that I'm bringing the best that I can to somebody calling me to try to harvest their trophy.
Yeah. Listen, joining us online is Jimmy Miranda, owner of Pine Barrens Deer Tracking Recovery, and his bloodhound, Roscoe. Let's go to njfishandwildlife.com, look up certified deer tracking dog information. There's going to list, I believe it's 31 trackers anywhere from Sussex County down to through Cape May. They list the counties of service. Jimmy Miranda specializes in Atlantic, Burlington, Camden, and Gloucester. A longtime friend of Rack and Fin Radio, Cody Meyer, handles Atlantic, Cape May, and Ocean. There's a full listing there. To me, Jimmy, the thing is, you're showing respect and service for the quarry, for the animal, trying to get it, not just saying, well, I can't find this thing, and going out, because there are people that do that. It drives me crazy, but you're doing a service showing respect for the quarry.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And it's all about the smile on their face at the end of the day. I would invite everybody to check us out online. You could actually see one of the longest tracks that we performed this season already on the biggest buff shot this season. Just a beautiful. And it was about 12 to 1,400 yards through just terrains that I don't even want to think about. I had nightmares about. Days worth of tracking. And the smile on that gentleman's face at the end says it all, sir.
Jimmy Miranda, thanks for joining us on Rack and Fin Radio. Jimmy Miranda and his dog Roscoe, Bloodhound Roscoe. He looks like you can come up and pet me, or if you come up and pet me and you have a sandwich in your hand, that sandwich is going to be gone. His dog Roscoe, Pine Barrens Deer Tracking and Recovery. Jimmy, give that phone number, please.
Yes, sir. The telephone number is 609-864-4528.
And listen, this is a donation service. These people that there's no fee. This is just the good of their heart, the love of and respect for the animal, and watching the dog work, and all the bottom line is doing the best to recover that animal, God's resource, and that's what it's all about. Jimmy, thanks for your service, man. Hey, listen. One of these days, I'll give you my number. We'll talk. I'd like to go on one of these tracking dealios just to actually see it in action. That would be cool.
Oh, absolutely. And I would be honored. Honored and a privilege.
What's Roscoe's favorite sandwich? You like salami Italian? You like salami? Salami and provolone?
you know what? I'm not going to lie to you. He got me the other day on a good BLT that I just had set there for a minute, you know.
Jimmy, take care. Have a great season. Talk to you off air. See you soon.
Thank you, Mr. Tom.
Thank you. That'll do it for this week on Rack and Fin. Ready to get out there and enjoy. Okay, the weather is... not really conducive at all overall, but just, you know, and rain or shine, the Tucko Decoy Show is, I guess it's going on, man. Just better days are coming. The skies are going to clear. The seas are going to calm someday, somewhere. I don't know when, but it will be happening. Deer season's open. Small game rabbit and squirrel is open. Seabass opens October 1st. Muzzleloader squirrel October 1st. Get out there and enjoy. God bless America. God bless our troops. God bless our first responders and law enforcement. See you next week. Rack and Fin Radio.